Hey, this is Robert Gibson of the Rock and Roll Express. When I'm around, I listen to the Double Dropkick Show.
Hey, welcome to this special edition of the Double Dropkick Show from Parts Unknown. I'm Heath Mulliken.
And if you're not down with that, I got three words for you. I'm Mark Whitman.
And this is a special edition of the show, the only wrestling podcast where we talk about the wrestling you grew up with. My mom just brought us lunch down here in the basement straight up from Hardee's.
Good stuff.
And so we're eating. You need to know that. We're eating. This is a freestyle show. No notes. Mark's got some questions he's got to ask me. And we're just going to talk. We're just going to talk while we're eating. This is kind of how the show got started.
Two guys sitting around eating and talking about wrestling.
Like some of the best stuff we've said today, we were just hanging out before the show, and we're talking about good stuff. And I'm like, whoa, let's record this.
Hold on, man. We got to get some stuff set.
So here we go. I have no idea where this is going. I wish I could tell you what it's going to be about, but I don't. It's just me and Mark calling it in the ring. Mark, what was you wanting to talk about, my brother?
All right, my man, I got a question for you, Heath. I've been immersed in the WWE Network. Follow that banner. And I've been watching a lot of matches, watching what's going on, and I noticed, not that I didn't know this, but just as I watched things, I watched the first episode of SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Watched a lot of things, and a lot of them have screwy finishes. Just an example, in that match, Rock is the challenger, Triple H is the champion, Shawn Michaels is the special guest referee. Now, this is after WrestleMania where Michaels had lost the title. This is after DX, you know, even I think the second DX phase had kind of was splitting up at this point.
Yeah.
So Michaels is back in the finish to the match. Everybody wanted Rock to win. So Shawn Michaels turns heel, super kicks the Rock, Triple H pins him, wins the match. And the crowd reacted the way that you would expect them to, with a chorus of boos. But they were boos directed at Triple H, and they were boos directed at Shawn Michaels.
Right.
And it did what it was supposed to do. It put heat on the bad guy, and it put sympathy with the Rock. I fast forward to wrestling today, and I see those same types of finishes. Matter of fact, that exact same finish at a pay-per-view last year where Shawn Michaels in a Hell in a Cell match super kicks Daniel Bryan. Randy Orton pins him and wins the title. I think he did. Where he won or retained. One of those two. And it didn't serve the purpose of putting heel heat on Randy Orton.
No.
And it didn't put really a whole lot of sympathy on Daniel Bryan. It just made people dissatisfied with the current product. Why are you not giving us what we want? And my question is, do you think that is a direct result of the pulling of the curtain back, where now you have Stephanie McMahon on TV in one segment kicking Daniel Bryan when he's down, when a segment before that they show a commercial of her talking about how she can watch the network with her kids, and creating this thing, dialogue with the fans where we're not real, we're sports entertainment, and we're just trying to entertain you, we're just trying to put a show on. Do you think that that's where the apathy has, instead of in the past when the heel would have got the heat, now people just become dissatisfied and don't want to watch the product anymore?
Yeah.
And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that while I eat my chicken strips.
Well, when you talk about heat, you're talking about getting the boos, you know. I totally agree with you. I think when during the Attitude Era, when Vince McMahon became the on-screen character, that didn't really pull back the curtain, but you're like, dude, it seemed like, you know, Vince McMahon owns the company, and he really is trying to screw over Steve Austin. Like, he's pulling out all the stops in front of the scenes, behind the scenes. Like, it seemed, even though, you know, by that time we all knew it was a work, there just seemed to be some legitimacy to it.
Right.
But I do think It's almost impossible for a guy to draw heat nowadays. It is almost impossible for a villain to go out there, do something to the babyface, because it's like the crowd, they get mad. They don't boo the villain for what he did in the match. They boo the fact that we didn't get what we want. You didn't put our guy over.
Right.
And so the heat is not in the building. It's on the internet.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's kind of why, because, you know, you've got Facebook and Twitter and all this. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody voices their opinion. But it is, there's this aspect of wrestling that's just not there anymore. Okay, back in the day. And again, you know, we're calling this. When I guess it was 86, when Ric Flair and Ricky Morton have this series of matches.
Mm-hmm.
And Ricky Morton's a tag team wrestler at that point. But it was believable. You believe that Ricky Morton had a chance to win the title. And even to this day, I wish they would have given him, whether it's a week or 2 weeks or a month. It would have been great.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
It would have been phenomenal.
Because you could have had a great series of matches with, you know, him getting beaten down for, you know, 25 and just somehow miraculously pulling this thing out every week.
But I say that because you have Ricky Morton having these matches with Flair. And I remember one match in particular. It's on one of the DVDs where Flair, you know, by hook or by crook, beats Ricky Morton, and just the place comes unglued. They're about to riot because they hate Ric Flair. They hate what he's done. They hate that they have, you know, this underdog, this tag team wrestler, this undersized guy who should not have a shot, who shouldn't be able to hang with Ric Flair. He has hung with Ric Flair. He's come through a broken nose. He's come through his face getting scarred on the concrete. He's come so close, and Ric Flair beats him because he cheated, and the crowd hates Ric Flair. Whereas if that happened today,
oh, Lord.
It would be like, what's the matter with you guys?
Right.
We want to see Ricky Morton be the champion. Why can't you give us what we want?
For the next month, all you would have heard was Ricky Morton chanted during everybody's match.
Right.
And it would have just let's ruin this show because we didn't get this one thing that we wanted.
But back then, there was still an element. And part of the element was you didn't know. I couldn't tell you who was booking, meaning who made the decisions. And I think that's part of it. There was still this element of it's two guys in the ring. They don't like each other. They're wrestling for the title. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, all right, yeah, these two guys are wrestling. It's predetermined.
Right. I don't think you have to insult people's intelligence.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and go that far as to say, okay, well, these guys are really friends. You don't have to do that. I mean, but I don't know, man. I just feel like it's lost something over time with the exposing of everything. And I don't think, I want to say it the right way. There's nothing wrong with calling it sports entertainment.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with not insulting people's intelligence. But when you have a show where you show whoever it may be, do something as a villain, and just do something like Stephanie McMahon kicking Daniel Bryan when he's down. And then 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later, you show people in a classroom talking to kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just completely remove all of the heat that they have.
Yeah.
Because how can I hate somebody if I see them working with underprivileged children?
Right.
You know, I'm not saying they shouldn't do those things.
Right.
But you don't have to expose everything where people are hanging around out of character.
Like, if I follow WWE on Instagram, and so Titus O'Neil just had this heel turn where he's turned on, which they were already a heel tag team. He turns on Darren Young. Who do you see going into all the school when they do a show and they go into schools and they're doing a reading challenge or they're talking about anti-bullying? Okay, you've got Titus O'Neil, who just turned on his partner, who just came out to the world, as a homosexual, and I don't want to talk about all that. He turns on the so Titus O'Neil turns on Darren Young. That's the guy you got talking about anti-bully,
right? That's my point.
What in the world? Like, I just don't. So yeah,
it just muddies the water for fans about how am I supposed to feel about this?
Right?
How am I supposed to feel about them as people?
Yeah,
you know, I just
and like even the whole yes. So the whole storyline now, if Stephanie and Triple H are the ones making the decisions of who wins and who loses matches.
Right. And that's what they're basically telling you on TV.
Right. And if you didn't know that, this storyline would be phenomenal.
That'd be great.
Because the way they've played it, Shawn Michaels cost him a match, Kane cost him a match, Triple H at SummerSlam. Oh, my goodness. All of that would have been great if that whole element of, well, Triple H, you know, decides who wins and loses anyway.
Right. See, when you know that, it completely removes all of the suspension of disbelief that comes with being a pro wrestling fan.
And that's why, to me, I would have somebody else play that role now.
I would, too. I think the exact same thing.
I think you could get a lot of heat. Dude, I thought we talked about at the Royal Rumble, number 30, Wade Barrett comes out. I've got some bad news. Mm-hmm. Daniel Bryan is not going to be in the Royal Rumble. I thought, let me tell you.
Would have been.
I'm a huge Wade Barrett fan.
Yeah.
I think he's highly underrated as a talker, as a worker. I thought what some of the stuff he did with the Nexus was great. I thought sometimes they gave him chicken poop, and he made some chicken salad out of it.
I agree.
I think they put him with some guys. I mean, good gravy. They put David Otunga with him, and he made it work.
Right.
I thought
from 3MB.
Right. Him. But I thought the Monday Night Raw on I got to get my dates. I don't know when you're listening to this, but
the one from Chicago.
The one in Chicago. How awesome would it have been?
I know what you're
going to
say.
When Cult of Personality hits, and you're counting, and once you got to about 1,005, you know it's not going to be CM Punk.
Right.
And I love what they did with Paul Heyman, but how awesome would it have been if Wade Barrett comes out and says, I've got some bad news. He would have had heat for 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just, yeah.
Especially in Chicago. He could, every time he went to Chicago, they'd have hated him.
Yeah, yeah. So I 100% agree with you that there is this, and it's not in, even in, TNA sucks anyway.
Yeah.
And Dixie Carter,
I agree.
Dixie Carter owns the company, but she's not the booker. So there's a little bit in that angle where you know that, like, Dixie Carter, maybe when Magnus won the belt, she wasn't pulling the strings behind the curtain, but she was, you know, she had all the interference and she set all that up for Magnus to win the belt. And I thought, even though she's a terrible character, I thought at least in that aspect of it, but nobody gets heat in TNA for any reason, and it's a shame because a lot of those guys I do like their work, but they're in WWE not so much in the other company, Ring of Honor. You don't really, you know, they don't have that authority. I mean, Nigel McGuinness is an authority figure and he's the booker, but I think they use his character well.
Yeah.
There, I just think in WWE right now.
They have too many authority figures. I mean, how?
Yeah.
You got Kane, Stephanie,
Brad
Maddox, Vicky Guerrero.
I mean, the whole, like, we know who calls the shots.
Right.
We know that the Raw GM or the SmackDown GM, they're a paper figure. You know, they don't have any say so.
Why do they even have those positions right now?
Right.
When you don't.
Yeah. So Teddy Long, he's making this. Yeah. Teddy Long's not making any decisions. So totally agree. What was the other thing you wanted?
Teddy Long gets He orders his lunch based on what Vince McMahon tells
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Talk about somebody who has parlayed
a heck of a career, man. Yeah. I mean,
he's been around 20-something years.
Old peanut
now.
Head.
And all he did was do a fast count against the Road Warriors.
Yep.
Was that Road Warriors and Varsity Club, I think? And
yeah.
And next thing you know, he's a heel manager. The next
he
thing
had
you
Doom
know.
And
yeah.
Dan Spivey and Sid Vicious. And he cut some good promos, man.
He did.
He's a good and that must be why they did that with him, because he's a good talker.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, now, what was the other thing you want to talk about?
Well, I tell you, I watched. This is. I feel like I'm just going to interview you for.
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
But that's good. That's what I wanted to do. Dusty Rhodes was. I'm sorry. Let me. I watched Ric Flair and Barry Windham.
Uh-huh.
On the Ric Flair Definitive Collection.
Yeah.
Thing or whatever, and it was just it came on TV on Worldwide.
Yeah, it was an hour long match.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, what was unique about that to me was that Dusty Rhodes did color commentating, which was kind of unique for the time. Especially with them.
Yeah.
Now, Vince always had the color commentators, mm-hmm. but you had Dusty come out and do color commentating on that match. And he spent an hour telling you how great Ric Flair was.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't run Ric Flair down.
Yeah.
He talked about how Ric Flair says you be the man, you got to beat the man. And right now he's the man. He's the world champion. That means he's the best in the world. Whether you like him or you don't like him, he's the best in the world because he's the guy with the belt.
Yeah.
And everybody wants to be in that position. He spent an hour explaining to you why Ric Flair was the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah.
And he hates Ric Flair.
Yeah.
He hates that. That's his main rival, the guy he's trying. But he spends an hour telling you how great Ric Flair is. Why? Because when he beats Ric Flair, it matters.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I wanted to get your thoughts on that type of thing, where now you don't have that anymore. Guys don't come out. You know, we don't talk a whole lot about new wrestling. That's part mm-hmm. of our show. But you can't help but tie it to what we're talking about now.
Compare them.
Comparing the two, where you have them coming out and telling Daniel Bryan he's B+, and he doesn't matter. And even though I get that it's supposed to come across to me that they're being condescending to him. Why not build him? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So basically, here's what Triple H is saying as we get closer and closer to WrestleMania. You're not worthy of being here.
Mm-hmm.
You're a B+ player. Well, what happens when Daniel Bryan beats Triple H?
Yeah.
So a B+ player just beat the guy whose wife is on TV telling me all the time he's one of the greatest of all time.
Right.
And a B+ player just beat him.
Yeah.
So you just Triple H knocks himself to, and I get that it's supposed to be a storyline. I understand that, but we have lost that building up of your opponent.
Yeah.
So that when you beat your opponent or your opponent beats you, it makes both of you stronger.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, you know, before I talk about the whole Dusty thing, I'll talk about the NXT Arrival show.
Wow.
And I haven't seen yet. I'm sorry. I feel like I failed in this. Haven't seen the first Sami Zayn Cesaro 2 out of 3 falls match.
Yeah, you need to see that.
Haven't seen that. But I watched their next Arrival match. And it's just, two guys. No gimmicks.
No.
No gimmicks. Getting in the ring, put on a clinic. Two guys, and with the internet wrestling community and with fans, these two guys are over.
Yes.
They haven't cut a promo.
No.
They have, because they can work, because there's something about it that makes you believe it. And when they're in the ring with each other, you forget that you forget it's predetermined because they're putting that into it. And Sami Zayn is like, man, if I can beat Cesaro, I can get up to the main roster. It's like the most, and then
if I can just get his respect.
Yes.
It will.
Yes.
Like it was Rocky.
Oh.
Rocky, the first Rocky movie. Yeah. People always forget. Rocky lost.
Yeah.
In the first Rocky movie.
Yeah.
It's because it wasn't about him winning. It was about this guy that the champion just picked out of nowhere as a gimmick match because he figured it'd be an easy day for him.
Yeah.
And Rocky trained and he got in shape and he said his prayers and he took his vitamins and he believed in himself.
Yeah.
And he went in and he went the distance with the champ. So it didn't matter that Rocky lost.
Yeah.
Because he went the distance with the champ when he shouldn't have been able to.
Right. Right.
And that was the story that not quite the same because he should have been able to go to distance because he's a good wrestler. So, I don't mean that. But what I mean is it's how you can lose a match and still come out stronger.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me tell you, the internet wrestling, we would have never had Rocky 2, 3, 4. You can do away with Rocky 5 for all I care. And we wouldn't have had any of that if the internet wrestling community had been in charge of movies. Because they'd have seen first one. They wouldn't have booed Apollo Creed as the villain. They would have booed whoever wrote the movie. Oh, guess what? It was Sylvester Stallone, who knows as a booker when it's time to put him over and when it's time to not. And how that made Rocky II that much better.
Right, because now...
Yes.
Apollo Creed is training harder.
Yes.
So that means Rocky's got to train harder.
Because
Apollo Creed knows this guy's going to take me to distance this time. I better get ready.
Because there's a shadow of doubt in Apollo Creed's mind if he's better. So that goes to your beginning topic. Because, people think we're chasing rabbits. No. It's all got a purpose.
We always know how to bring this baby back around.
So Ric Flair, it had never been done before. It's an... Wrestling back then was an hour. It was one match. That's all it was. It wasn't. There was no interviews. It was an hour-long match. You had commercial breaks. And I kept just thinking, when is this going to be over? What's going on? And when the match is over, Dusty Rhodes has been putting over Flair the whole time. When that match is over, Barry Windham gets the mic. And it was so good. He's like, I'm this close.
Yep.
And it was the perfect Rocky One ending. Where they screwed it up, in my personal opinion, is that nowhere during that run, they missed the window where, again, same thing with Ricky Morton. You could have put the belt on him for a month. You could have put – I'm just saying, in that, let's say 86 to 90 NWA, you're telling me that when you lay it out, you can make time for Ronnie Garvin to have – a two-month title reign where he didn't even defend the title in those 2 months. But you can't find time for Barry Windham. I thought, how perfect would that have been? You have that hour-long world. I feel like they wasted it.
Yeah,
in the history of wrestling, they wasted that hour because that was a phenomenal match. The whole point was, this is how great Ric Flair is, and Barry Windham hung with him.
Right.
How awesome would it have been 3 or 4 months – I mean, I don't think we're in the pay-per-view era then, but you have that match, and you put Barry Windham over, and you have your Rocky II ending where everybody gets what they want. But here's the thing. The thing about that match, because it was real, because it was two guys really competing, there wasn't – Flair didn't cheat a whole lot in that match. There wasn't outside interference. No. It was a time limit draw.
Right. Just went to limit. He went the distance with the champ.
And they both got elevated.
Yep.
Because here's Flair. Man, he just, this young up-and-coming guy, man, he couldn't put him away, but he didn't lose.
But he's hot on your heels, Rick.
He's hot on your heels,
and you're going to have to step your game up now.
And I never understood. And of course, now we know that, and again, we're doing a show. How did WWF win the whole deal? Why is Vince the last man standing? We didn't know at the time that for the NWA belt to change hands legitimately, it wasn't just Jim Crockett saying, all right, Flair, you're going to lose the belt to this guy. It wasn't Dusty or Ole or whoever, Kevin Sullivan, booking at the time. They legitimately had a board of directors
that had to vote together
whether or not who to give the belt to.
And they all had their own agendas, and they wanted to go. If you think there wasn't some jealousy about Crockett Promotions getting as hot as it was.
And if you think... There are politics in wrestling now.
Oh, man.
You don't understand the history of this industry.
Politics is not one guy making a decision. Politics is, like you said, 20 guys having to get together and vote.
Yeah. I mean,
they all got their own agendas. I want the guy to be from my territory. I'm like, oh, man.
Oh, dude, since pro wrestling started, this is, That's how it's been double crossing and backstage deals. I mean, that's kind of the backbone of
and if people hate people like Triple H and Shawn Michaels and those guys because they were politicians, I got news for you, man. Even on the independent wrestling scene, politics plays a part of it, and you can't hate somebody for being better at it than you are.
Yeah, that's part of it. You got to be able to work. You got to be able to talk. And you got to be able to...
Vader said he wished that he had spent more time with Harley Race when he was his manager and let Harley talk for him more, because he said Harley understood the politics. And he said, if I had just listened to him a little bit more and shut up a little bit more and let Harley do some of the talking for me, I probably could have gone further in WCW.
Yeah. And that's the great thing now for fans of old... For fans of old school wrestling like us... And the people on the Facebook group, fans of pro wrestling 70s, 80s, and 90s, the Performance Center and NXT, I'm telling you, the payoff for fans of old school wrestling of putting something out there that seems like a legitimate beef between two guys, legitimate heat, a legitimate athletic competition. Right. You've got Dusty... Like you said, Dusty Rhodes, the master of the backstage stuff, teaching these guys. And you said on one show, he's not just teaching them how to communicate on a promo, but how they communicate in the locker room.
Right. That's a big deal.
And that's just a huge, huge thing.
And they're teaching those guys, because what happened, they were developing characters for people. But now they're bringing those guys in. Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
Let's work together.
Yeah.
And take your personality and let's craft something from that.
Yeah.
And teaching him how to work and teaching him how to do those promos, how to build his own style. And then you see it, and then they get him a little bit polished, and then they can put him on TV rather than where in the past you would just see some guy show up.
Mason Ryan.
Hey, you're right. Where he had been down in Ohio Valley or wherever they were at.
Yeah.
And you had those cookie cutter, you know, for a couple of years.
Yes.
And I'm a Cena fan.
Yeah.
Cena, Orton, Batista, I think are the three biggest ones.
Lesnar. Yeah, he's in that crew.
But they were all that were coming through had a cookie cutter look to them. They all look the same. They all work the same in the ring. They all have the same promo style.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Cena has developed a character, whereas Orton has not.
Yeah.
Orton is like... Their cookie cutter from that era is Randy Orton. Yeah. That's the mold for that. He still delivers... Those awful promos where he does, where it's like he's just thinking about every word he says because he's reading a script that somebody gave him and he doesn't believe what he's saying.
Yeah, yeah. I have never I've never been an Orton fan because I don't believe him.
No, I don't either. And he seems like a genuinely horrible human being. Everything I'm not going to go on record about stuff about him. You can look it up.
Right.
Everything I've read about him, he just seems like a kind of guy that I wouldn't want to know.
Yeah.
The whole, when they were going to put him in the Marine movie.
Yeah.
And the guys who had actually been in the Marines with him got an uproar about it.
Right.
Said, this is one of the worst soldiers I ever met in my life.
Right, right. Yeah. I'll go to, you know, you talked about, and again, freestyling. You talked about Dusty Rhodes on commentary putting Ric Flair over, and because he put Ric Flair over so much, the fact Barry Windham, he didn't have to say anything about Barry Windham. Barry Windham hung an hour with the guy that Dusty Rhodes put over. So let's go back. We were talking about this earlier. Let's go back again. The Raw in Chicago. I think they missed that on commentary. Now Jim Ross could put guys over, but this time I feel like you got a 3-man booth, and they're being told what to say.
Right.
But it's like they're having to talk about so much. So the other night, Aaron Paul he's the guest on Monday Night Raw. He comes out in the car, and they've been building this. He comes out, and whoever's coming out with him is wrestling Alberto Del Rio. It's Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler, who has cut two of the lesser-known promos of the last month or so, just from the heart, you believed it.
Mm-hmm.
When that guy – so he comes out, gets a good pop. Gets a good pop.
He always does.
Yes, and comes in, has a pretty good match with Del Rio, but you wouldn't know that because it's Aaron Paul talking about his movie.
Right.
They spend the whole match of Dolph Ziggler and Del Rio – two guys who have been champions.
Right. Within the last year.
And so even when Ziggler gets to the end of the match and wins, he hits his finisher, and they go to the count. The camera's on Aaron Paul. And so it wasn't that Dolph Ziggler didn't get the rub from this big movie star being on Raw. Aaron Paul got a rub from being on Monday Night Raw.
But that tells you where they see Dolph Ziggler in the hierarchy.
Yeah, yeah. And I,
you know, and that's unfortunate because he's a good hand.
He is.
I personally don't think he is a world champion.
Right.
We live in this era.
Right.
When you and I have talked about it, where everybody thinks that everybody needs to be the world champion. That is should be a special privilege reserved for the elite.
Yeah.
And I don't think. I think he sells great. I think he cuts a good promo. But I just don't think that he deserves a run with the world title. And it's okay if he doesn't get a run with the world title. Not everybody in the history of wrestling got a run with the title. And that doesn't mean
that he's terrible.
That they're terrible. Mr. Perfect was never the world champion in the WWF. I mean, but I
don't. Hall of Famer.
He's a Hall of Famer, man. I mean, had some great matches. Everybody looks back fondly on him. Roddy Piper was never the WWF champion.
Oh, my goodness.
And people, he's one of the greatest promos of all time. So not everybody needs to be a world champion. Not everybody should be allowed to be. Now, it bothers me that there are guys like Miz who did get to be.
Oh, dear.
Honestly.
And had a good
long run with the belt.
And
WrestleMania with the belt. How in the world?
The 1 year I go to WrestleMania, Miz and Cena.
I regret not going with you that year, but sometimes I kind of don't regret it because that match had zero appeal to me.
Let me tell you, we're sitting there in the building at the Georgia Dome. It's 20 to 11, and they're just coming out.
Right.
Typically, a pay-per-view ends 10:55. It ends a few minutes early because since the Goldberg Diamond Dallas Page fiasco where they went overtime and went, you know, half the country went black watching it. I feel like you knew this is going to be, and so it felt rushed, it felt hurried, it was anticlimactic. It was just terrible, but. But to go back, I mean, everything we've talked about goes back to this whole deal of has sports entertainment ruined wrestling? I think if you knew some behind-the-scenes stuff, and you and I have talked about this, going to sports entertainment was brilliant by McMahon.
Yeah, because I don't think that was
a good business decision.
It was
outside the ring.
Right, because they – and I don't know if we've said this. A lot of that come about because the way that athletic events are taxed.
Yeah.
So he said, wait a minute, you pay more taxes on an athletic event than you do on an entertainment event.
Yeah.
So there was this thing where they said, well, we can just go ahead and call it sport. It can be entertainment instead of sports, and we won't have to pay as much tax.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know that's where a lot of that came from.
And see, like UFC, because it's a sport, there's some states.
And there's UFC, a lot more restrictions, you're right.
Yeah. And so the fact that they went to sports entertainment, it's, you know, it's a whole different even how the wrestlers are paid, and you know, they're like licensed contractors now. It's like a whole
independent contract.
Right, it's like a whole different lingo now. And so there's some good and some bad in that. But I think again, we don't want to use this show to say, boy, everything's bad. What we really want to highlight is
how good it was.
Yeah, and it could be, and the hope that it could be that again.
After watching that NXT special, I have a lot of confidence that it will be good.
Yeah,
if we just give it a few years.
Yeah,
I hope I get to see the day when it's good like it was during the 90s or during the 80s again. And I think we will, man. I believe this, man. Anytime you have a behind the scenes agent or booker, whoever, as on screen talent, with the exception of Vince McMahon, who was able to do it because, I mean, he would do anything. Vince McMahon never had anybody do anything that Vince McMahon wouldn't do himself.
Right.
So if Triple H was not on screen and all he had to do was focus on coordinating the talent for a show.
Right.
I really think it's going to be great.
Yeah. Yeah. And going back to that Cesaro Sami Zayn match, he beats him, and Sami Zayn's selling it in the corner as if he is emotionally and he is physically defeated, as if, man, I'm never going to get to the next level. And what does Cesaro do? Cesaro's won the match, but he put Zayn over by saying, hey, you're my equal.
He walks back in the ring. He grabs him and he stands him up.
Yeah,
and he hugs him. And you're right. He says to everybody watching, he deserves to be on the main roster.
Yeah, yeah. And whispers something in his ear. And I love the after the match promo, which, like, as I'm watching that, that was not Cesaro. That wasn't some character coming in and like, oh yeah, from 40,000 feet I came down here. It was a guy who just had a great match with a good friend, and he talks in a regular voice, but it's a great promo. And then I love the end. I don't know the interviewer's name. He says, what'd you say to him in the ring after that? And he just says, that's between me and him.
There you
loved
go.
It. I loved it. I dude popped for it. I mean, that was just
every time he throws that uppercut. And my wife, we were watching Raw the other week, and he hit somebody with an uppercut, and even she went, oh. So that was cool.
Yeah. So anyway, we hope you've, again, we didn't have any of this planned out. Yeah, this is just
shooting the bull. Yeah, this is, if you want to know what it sounds like when we just have conversations about wrestling, there you go.
When the mics are off, this is the conversation. And we just thought, let's just capture this. And again, we want to thank you. This is the Double Dropkick Show, unscripted.
That's
today.
Right. This is shoot.
Yeah, our
straight
shooting. Our shoot show. And never mind. So, Double Dropkick Show, please go to doubledropkick.com.
I want to throw this in there. Yeah. If you like the show, And you've been listening to us, like us on Facebook.
Yeah.
Go to the page, the Double Dropkick Show.
Yeah.
Go to Twitter, the DDK Show, at the DDK Show. Follow us on Twitter and tell somebody.
Yeah.
When you see us post a link on Facebook, there's a little button at the bottom that says share. Click on that share button because it helps us out.
Sharing
you
is
know?
Caring.
If you like us and you're friends with us and you're not friends with us and you just like wrestling and you like the show, tell somebody about us.
And all of this, like if you go to doubledropkick.com, that is kind of the one stop. You can listen to the show. You can, if you want to listen on iTunes, click on a button. Takes you to iTunes. If you want to like us on Facebook, there's a box on the right-hand side. You can click and like us on Facebook. At the top of the page, it says support our show. You click on that, it tells you all the great products that we're promoting. Again, just trying to break even on the show because we do have expenses. I mean, we don't have to pay for food because my mom, you know, we're in her basement and we're just kind of mooching off of her. But we do have some expenses. And like I said, we're just trying to break even on that. So if you support the show, and here's the new thing we're doing, and this is a great way you can help us, and it'll help you too. If you're on Twitter, on all of our posts, all of our show posts on the website, there will be a little thing where it will say something like, or I'll just mention one from the other day where we're talking about face turns, but there, it said, hey, at Nikita Koloff 1, loved hearing about your face turn on, and then it's a link to that episode. And there's a button that says click to tweet. So all you got to do if you're on Twitter, we've written the tweet for you with a link to our show. We did that the other day. Guess who responded to us? Nikita Koloff says, he said, at Heath Mulliken, thank you so much. That was a very well-kept secret. And I'm telling you, so everybody we talk about in a show, we keep track of, except for this one because we don't have any notes from it. But
not a one.
Not a one, but we'll go back.
I got an empty box in front
so
of me.
So, like, I can go ahead and tell you, there's going to be a click to tweet for Flair, for Dusty Rhodes, for Triple H, for Cesaro, Sami Zayn. All these guys have just saying, hey, saying to them, we appreciate your work, and this is how we've expressed it in the Double Dropkick Show. And if they reply or retweet, dude, that just puts the show out there to that many of our eyes
and ears. Just the name of the show. Maybe we get lucky and somebody says, what's this? And they click on it.
Yeah, that and that's so. Thank you so much for your support. We listen. I say this all the time at the end of every episode. We do not want this to be one-way communication. So many of you have been so gracious. A lot of our personal friends, you have sent me text, and that means the world to me.
Yeah, me too.
You have sent me. You've replied to me on Twitter. But here's what I need you to do. I love it. I love that you're responding to me personally. I love it. But I need you to be our hype man. I need you to, you know, continue talking about us on Twitter. But I need you to talk to us 1-864-952-1893. Call and tell us.
Kids, get your parents' permission.
Get your parents' permission. $5.99 a minute. Just kidding. But call and tell us if you think it's better as sports entertainment or better when kayfabe, you know, better with that. We want to hear from you. Comment on Facebook, please. Just we want to create a community of people who love the business of professional wrestling.
My hand is touching your hand. Don't leave me now. I came back for you, for that man that never got to see a real world champion. And I love you. I love you.
Well, anyway, that is all for this episode. I am Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And all fans, that's all the time we've got for this week. We'll see you next time.
What? 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 What?